In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, today the Church marks Septuagesima Sunday. That means the beginning of the period of a pre-Lenten preparation. That tells us that Ash Wednesday is only 17 days away. It's a time in which the Church seeks to prepare us for the intense spiritual discipline of Lent. The priest, like in Lent, wears purple vestments. There is no Gloria or Alleluia. And the readings the Church gives us are meant to help us warm up for the spiritual battle that will take place during the 40 days when we will join Jesus in the desert. In today's episode, St. Paul speaks to us of the zeal we should have for living and sharing our faith. He had been explaining to the Corinthians that he had made himself a slave to all so as to win over as many as possible, that to the weak I became weak to win over the weak. I have become all things to all to save at least some. All this I do, he explained, for the sake of the gospel, so that I too may have a share in it. St. Paul also says, do you not know that the runners in the stadium all run in the race, but only one wins the prize? Run so as to win. Every athlete exercises discipline in every way. They do it to win a perishable crown, but we an imperishable one. Dear friends, St. Paul was someone who ran to win, who disciplined himself to be a disciple, who sought to train the first Christians not to be bench warmers, but Hall of Famers, by seeking likewise to become all things to all people to save as many as possible. As we mark Septuagesima Sunday, it's a call for us to be ambitious in the right way, to seek to be great, not mediocre, for God's kingdom to come. It's a summons for us to compete to win an imperishable crown. Do we approach the faith with this type of purpose, with this type of interior resolve and courage, with this type of goal? And yet, in today's gospel, Jesus seems to be suggesting the opposite. Are the last first? Jesus seems to be saying that it doesn't matter how hard we strive for his kingdom. Rather than seeking to be first, he tells us the last will be first and the first will be last. He seems to be suggesting that no matter how hard We work for his kingdom under the brutal sun in his vineyards. We will get no advantage at all over those who, like the good thief, steal the prize at the end. Are Jesus' words contradicting St. Paul's? The answer is no, of course. But in order to see why it's no, we have to enter into the parable and see what Jesus is affirming and what he's not. Jesus was using this story, this parable, to preach to the Jews about salvation. By the time of Jesus, the Jews has already been God's chosen people since the age of Abraham, about 1900 years prior. For 1300 years, they had been committed to keeping a covenant with God based on the faithful fulfillment of the Mosaic law. All of a sudden, Jesus, son of Mary, son of a carpenter from Nazareth, who was working all types of miraculous signs to back up the authority of his potent preaching, was saying that others were going to get the same life, to get the same life's wage that they were. He said that the prostitutes, if they repented and accepted his gospel, were going to receive the full pay of salvation. He said that the tax collectors, hated by observant Jews for their complicity with the Romans, would receive the same if they accepted the gospel like Zacchaeus or Matthew. Most shocking to their ears was Jesus' assertion that even the Gentiles would be saved. It just didn't seem fair to them. Even though Jesus was stressing that his Jewish listeners too could be saved if they accepted the fulfillment of all God had been doing among them and embraced the gospel he has proclaiming and enfleshing, many of his listeners were convinced the system was not just. After all, were not those who had kept the Mosaic law with such exactitude and rigor for 1300 years entitled to something special? The Lord's generosity is freely offering salvation to others, like he would to the good thief on the cross. Was making them jealous, was making them furious. Through this parable, Jesus was exposing a serious flaw in the way they looked at the covenant with God and with the religious life in general. Just like sometimes we can view work as a burden rather than a blessing, so they looked at their keeping of the precepts of the covenant more as a yoke than a grace. They failed to see that they had already received more than the others were being offered because of the great gift of having been able to walk in the Lord's way up until then. We Catholics can be often guilty of the same flaw. We can be secretly jealous of those who have lived a wild and sinful life, but who, because of God's mercy, converted before it was too late. We can behave like the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son, who resents that the father treats our profligate brothers and sisters with the same love with which he has treated us who have never disobeyed his commands in the same flagrant way. We can resent as those who had worked all they did, that the Master is making others equal to us who have shouldered the weight of fidelity to the law all along. But this envy, dear friends, this envy in our hearts happens because our vision has become twisted. The expression the Master in the parable says today, "Are you envious because I am generous?" Is your eye evil because I am good? The generosity of another, especially of God, makes us angry because we think that if we are to win, others must lose. That we cannot be happy and enjoy the fruits of our work unless others, especially the lazy bums who have not made the same choices we have, are unhappy. So the first lesson that the Lord wants us to take from this parable is that he, in his mercy and generosity, continues to call others into his vineyard to join those whom he called earlier. We need to let people know and ourselves take seriously how many job openings there still are in the vineyard of the world. But there is a second lesson from the parable that is at least as important. Are we truly laborers in the Lord's vineyard? When many of us Catholics hear this parable, we initially seem to relate to those hired at 6 a.m. in the story, because we think we have been in the vineyard from the day of our baptism. But, dear friends, the Lord, the good Lord, wants us to recognize that it's more likely that we are still in the marketplace. Many of us have not yet begun to work for his kingdom. We are bodies in his vineyard, not laborers. We can sometimes think that we are carrying our weights by the simple facts we come to Mass, put something in the basket, say our prayers, and avoid mortal sins. Or we think we are doing heavy lifting by the fact that we can easily point to many people who are barely lifting a finger. Compared to them, we look industrious. But God wants us, God wants each of us to become a real laborer, true hard worker in and for his kingdom. And many of us have not yet worked up a sweat to bring others to salvation. In the parable, we see how the master, representing God, exhausts himself even in comparison to the workers who were hired first thing in the morning. Despite the fact that he had a foreman whom he could have sent to do the hiring, the master himself goes out to hire at 6, 9, 12, 3, and 5 p.m. He was even willing to lose money to hire people at the end of the day, not only because he cared about taking in the harvest, which represents the ever-urgent harvest of souls, but because he didn't want anyone excluded from the work of and in his kingdom. Notice that he doesn't give things out of charity to the people sitting idle in the marketplace. He gives them something to do. His question to those hired at 5 p.m., at the 11th hour, why do you stand here idle all day? This question shows his passion that everyone come to his vineyard to work. After all, he had already come out four times that day to hire everyone who was present. Their response, because no one has hired us, shows, in a sense, how so much inactivity had led to a self-pity that has made unresponsive and irresponsible. Did not they realize that the master of the vineyard was hiring everyone? Many times, we can say that the reason why we have never gotten involved is no one asked me. With regard to the harvest, God never wants us to say that. He wants us to grasp that he is hiring all of us, that there is room in the vineyard for everyone willing to work. He is counting on all our help. And he is patiently and continuously coming out in search of all of us to summon us to labor with him for the salvation of the human race. Dear friends, the essential lesson of the parable is that to be in the kingdom of God means to be working together with God and together with others. Some who have entered the field before us and some who have come after us. But there is much work to do, and God wants each of us doing much work and working hard. We see in the parable that remaining idle on the sidelines when God's hiring us all to do his work is not merely the worst of missed opportunities, but simply a lack of life. A lack of life, a lack of the life God wants to share. He wants us not only objectively to share in the work of the harvest, but he wants to form us as harvesters, because our life, like that of the day laborers in the marketplace, is purposeless unless we grasp that we are hired and get down to work. Our failure to recognize and to respond to his call deprives us of this great good. Today, Jesus is looking at each of us straight in the eye and saying, "You too, go to work in my vineyard." Today he's saying to each of us, just like he said to Saint Paul, "You are hired." We ask him for the grace that, like Saint Paul, we may see that truly to live is to live in Christ, to fight the good fight, and to finish the race as a champion by keeping the faith, living it, spreading it, so that we may share his joy in bringing in a great harvest of souls, to rejoice with him and with us forever. There is much work to do, and out of love for others and for us, God is sending us to do it. No matter how long we have been in the race, let's now resolve together to run so as to win and to help others pass the finish line victorious as well. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.